Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This edition of The Standard is brought to you by the AXA Startup Angel Competition. I'm Sharmadine Reed, founder and CEO of The Stack World, and I'm here to help you turn your business dream into reality. There are six chances to win the competition, including two top prizes of £25,000, mentoring from myself and leading UK founders, plus business insurance for a year thanks to AXA. Go to standard.co.uk/AXA Startup Angel for details on how to enter and complete your entry by the 2nd of June 2024. Good luck.
From the Evening Standard in London, I'm Mark Blunden and this is the Standard Podcast. Coming up on today's show, Gordon Ramsay's hope to take over the crown from the BT Tower, and a Westminster Council pushback on Savile Row development leaves some unhappy tailors. But first, as almost 600 more skyscrapers are planned to cram into the gaps of the capital's already crowded historic skyline.
You thought there were a lot of towers going up in London at the moment. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet.
The 10th annual Tall Buildings Report by built environment think tank and industry members organisation New London Architecture finds there are 583 tall buildings of more than 20 stories, which the authors describe as queuing up in the pipeline. According to the NLA, that's more than twice as many as the 270 built over the past decade. It comes as half of Londoners surveyed as part of the report say they believe there are too many tall towers in the capital. So where are those new hotspots, and what will be the impact on the views of London's historic buildings? Let's cross over to the newsroom with our business editor, Jonathan Prynne.
Well, you thought there were a lot of towers going up in London at the moment. Well, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've got a report showing that nearly 600 more skyscrapers and tall buildings of various descriptions in the planning pipeline, which will really transform London's skyline over the next decade or so.
And this is the report from the NLA Manhattan on Thames.
Yes. Well, this is New London Architecture, who are a think tank who look at all things architecture in the capital. And they do this survey of tall buildings every year, and they've done it for 10 years now. This was the 10th anniversary survey, and they sort of look back over the last 10 years and throw it forward as well, and they find that there's absolutely no slowing down at all. And at London's skyline, that used to be relatively low-rise compared with New York or the big cities of Asia, is increasingly heading that way.
What do we know about some of the planned skyscraper hotspots, and is there a timeline?
The absolute hottest of hotspots is the city, where there are a good dozen absolutely massive skyscrapers due to go up in the next few years. But also, if you look beyond that, Canary Wharf and Docklands generally has huge numbers of towers due to go up in the planning system, under construction, whatever. But it's sort of spreading, that the hot spots that used to be very central are now spreading around sort of to the edge of London much more as well. So, for example, Croydon is a massive skyscraper hotspot, and increasingly Acton in West London, which is becoming the kind of Croydon of the West, with a massive number of very tall towers going up in that part of town.
And of course, the design of the skyscrapers that we've seen in past decades have had some considerable critics as well as their fans. There have been some rather negative words said over the years over the likes of the walkie-talkie, the can of ham. But then we have had the more applauded works of the likes of the
gherkin, and the shard is, of course, quite divisive. Are there any interesting designs on the horizon?
I would not say that there's anything quite as exciting as either of those or any of those that you've mentioned. I would say that the pipeline is slightly more generic skyscrapers than what we've had recently. One undershaft is quite an interesting one. That will be the tallest building in the city, almost exactly equal to the shard across the river. And that's a very tall, very thin building that was sort of popularly known as the trellis because of its sort of the lattice work on the outside of the building. That's just been redesigned, so it's had to be sort of de-trellised.
And are these more likely to be offices, residential? And what's your view on how this ever-growing number of modern buildings is going to fit or not with the capital's historic architecture?
Yeah, really good question. I mean, the trend over the last few years, I'd say 5 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, it was all about residential, loads of residential towers going up when interest rates were low and fewer offices. There's been a shift. Residential has gone down. There's less demand for very high apartment blocks now. It's all about office now. The other growing element is student accommodation. Student halls are now vertical, basically. You've got huge numbers of incredible student skyscrapers in the planning system, which we've never seen before in London. So that's a real change. How it fits into London's historic architecture is an extremely good question. I mean, there are still some protected views. St Paul's probably the most famous one, but also the House of Parliament. But there are other protected views around central London. But there's no question that as that skyline gets more and more crowded, I think people will ask more and more difficult questions about what we're doing to the London that we've sort of known and loved.
Let's go to the ads coming up. Gordon Ramsay's plan for London's highest restaurant and why the tailors of Savile Row are not happy with Westminster Council. Why not hit follow? In the meantime, give us a rating.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
The secret to summer-ready skin is here. Osea's number one best-selling Andaria Algae Body Oil, clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and transform dry skin to silky, soft, and unbelievably glowing. Its signature scent of freshly squeezed grapefruit, cypress, and mango mandarin transports you to sun-kissed summer days. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skincare from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com.
What do we know about Sadiq Khan's planning record on skyscrapers in terms of their approval?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting that all three mayors that we've had since the mayoralty came into existence 25 odd years ago, they have all been quite liberal in terms of waving through tall tower schemes. Ken Livingston, Boris Johnson and Sadiq Khan. I wouldn't have said there's been any massive difference in their policy on approving tall towers, and that's the reason why we've had this incredible proliferation of skyscrapers in the last few decades. But I think Sadiq Khan's view is, you know, good design is paramount. Well-designed towers definitely have their place within London's planning system, but so long as you don't get a sort of absolute forest of poorly designed tall buildings is, I think, what he would say.
And speaking of skyscrapers, a little while ago we spoke about the sale of the BT Tower. So that used to be London's highest restaurant, but you've also been reporting some interesting news this week regarding Gordon Ramsay and his plans.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as towers have gone taller and taller in London, so have restaurants. And Gordon Ramsay's announced that he's going to open three venues at the top of 22 Bishopsgate, which is not the best known skyscraper in the city, but it's one of the biggest and one of the tallest. And he will be opening three venues, including a private dining room, which will be a kind of offshoot of his three Michelin-starred restaurant, Gordon Ramsay. And they will be right at the top of 22 Bishopsgate, 60 stories up. When they open next year, they will take the title of the highest restaurants in London, which is currently held by Duck and Waffle at the top of the old Heron Tower.
So this is very much a city-based enterprise looking to get those business dinners, that kind of thing. You think is that the target market?
I think a lot of tourists will want to book into the highest restaurant in London. There's going to be, just by its dint of its location, there'll be a lot of city people eating in these restaurants. But of all Ramsay's brands, they're not sort of classic fine dining brands, apart from the restaurant Gordon Ramsay private dining room. You've got Bread Street Kitchen, which is relatively mass market. You've got Lucky Cat, which is an Asian themed restaurant. So I think they will be looking to get large numbers of tourists and people who just sort of claim that they've eaten in the highest restaurant in the capital.
And so from one London institution, the Square Mile, another one, Savile Row, you've been reporting on some developments or redevelopments there this week and some disquiet as well. And what can you tell us?
There's definitely a lot of unhappiness on the row, as the tailors call it. At one end of Savile Row is a police station that's been empty since 2021. It was built in 1940, but was sold off by the police as they sort of moved out of their big police stations around central London. Now, a developer's bought it and has been pursuing a plan to turn it into, or actually not convert it at all, but demolish it and use the site for a new building with offices, a restaurant, and a little academy for apprentice tailors, which the road doesn't have in situ at the moment. There's one slightly further away, but not one actually on Savile Row. So the tailors are really, really keen to see this development go through at 27 Savile Row. However, the officers at Westminster Council last week took the decision to recommend refusal for this development when the committee meets in a few days' time. And the tailors are really unhappy about this. They think that the police station is an eyesore and it's empty and not adding anything to Savile Row, not bringing people in or anything like that. And they're worried they're going to lose their apprentice academy as well. So, yeah, a lot of unrest.
There's much more news and features in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back tomorrow at 4 p.m.